Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Sequoia, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Sequoia.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
I'm great. It's a
great
pleasure to be here, and it's always a pleasure to be giving good news.
Great. Yes, it is, isn't it?
It is.
And to have a practice that is focused on good news, what a great thing.
I can't think of anything better.
Me neither. It's really exciting, given my experience of a lot of the world is not that. And to have a place where I can go and really consistently get information that supports me in being alive and feeling engaged and participating, it's a great thing.
It is a great thing, yes, and I'm very grateful for it.
Great. Yeah, we could sit here and talk for 10 minutes about how grateful
that's right.
And we have some related stuff to talk about, which is all of the exciting stuff that's happening.
That's right. We're going to talk today about the schedule. And, you know, if anybody's been to the website in the last week or so, they have maybe noticed that the schedule, to me, it just seems like it's completely blossomed.
Yes. Yeah, that's
fine. And we just have so many opportunities now posted on the schedule. And one thing I really like about it is that we have just a range of things available for people. I mean, everywhere from all you need to do is have your cell phone and get the tweets with practice everywhere to 8-day retreats that are available.
Yeah, it runs the full gamut, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. So, you know, I, being a monk here at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, one of the great things about that is in, getting to be involved in the creation of the schedule. And I just really appreciated being involved with it and just watching what an exciting creative process it is and how, you know, there's an inspiration from life, and we gather information from the Sangha, and we just kind of nurture this practice opportunity along, and then suddenly there are people attending retreats, and it's just very exciting.
Yes, yes, it's really great to see it all the way from that creative spark all the way through all the details and then people actually being there.
Right, and if people tuned into the Good News update last Tuesday, just to hear people on the West Porch sharing what it means to them to attend a retreat, that was inspiring.
Yes, yes, it was inspiring for me too.
So some of the things that we're offering, some of them are brand new retreats that have never been offered, and some of them have been offered for a while. And one of those retreats that I think is brand new, of course, is the Hungry Ghost and Subpersonalities Retreat that's going to be happening right around Halloween.
Yes. And I think that's not an accident that it's right around Halloween.
No, I think that was kind of an inspiration for this retreat. And it's going to be one of the shorter retreats that we're holding. It's going to be from Friday through Sunday over that Halloween weekend. And it's just going to be an opportunity to partake in a variety of activities to just look at those hidden aspects of the personality and that can lead us away from our hearts. And I just think it's, who knows how the retreat's actually going to unfold, but it just sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes, yes, it does to me too.
So that is one that I believe is new. And then we're bringing back another retreat that people have requested, and that is the Compassionate Eightfold Noble Path Retreat. And that's going to be a week-long retreat here in Murphy's at the monastery. And that's going to be an opportunity to relate our real-life situations to the encouragements that we recite in the daily recollection every morning. And those compassionate encouragements include compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, compassionate livelihood. And so we're going to be looking at those things and how we can actually bring them into real life situations, which also sounds very exciting.
Yes, to have a way to look at life through the lenses of those eight different aspects.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, always looking at, you know, how to bring that compassion, compassionate awareness, those compassionate encouragements into our life in a practical way.
Yeah.
And that retreat is going to be held in July.
Great.
The beginning of that will be July 24th and run through July 30th here at the monastery.
Great.
Another one that we have coming up that we haven't, I think this happened in the past before I was here, but we're bringing it back, and that is a camping trip into the High Sierras.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds fun.
Doesn't that sound like fun?
And
we're going to do it in August.
Good.
What was that, Michael?
I was just saying, I'm hoping it's going to happen in the summertime and not the winter.
Yes, I hope so, too. It is going to happen. It's going to happen in August, and that begins on August 19th. And that will be a time here at the monastery when we will want to probably travel into the High Sierras to seek a little bit cooler temperatures.
Uh-huh. Great.
So we will go up into the High Sierras. And one thing that's unique about this retreat is that children that are 10 years and older can attend with their parents.
Great.
Yeah, so that should be really, really fun to have just a variety of ages participating.
Yeah.
So we will go into the Sierras and we'll maintain the privileged environment up there and be able to hike and just be together in silence and while we walk and sit and eat and just enjoy the beauty of the High Sierras. It is gorgeous up there.
I was just going to say the beauty of it was what really attracts me to that.
So that's something I also really look forward to.
Great.
And let's see, some other things that are happening that haven't happened for a while. We're going to have a sesshin here at the monastery. And that is going to happen over Thanksgiving. So it will be a way for you to really share the practice of Thanksgiving with your heart and to come and practice here at the monastery. And it will be, we are asking that people have attended three previous retreats with us before they attend a sesshin. And, you know, I think it's one of the best ways a person can possibly spend that time of Thanksgiving, just
yeah.
being with their heart in silence.
And if someone doesn't know what a sesshin is, could you give us a little background?
Sure. It's going to be a very special schedule of just sitting and walking meditation, and we're going to start early in the morning and go until late in the evening. We'll stop for meals. We'll have simple meals, and we'll work together to get the meal on and get it cleaned up. But the focus of the of our attention will be on the walking and sitting meditation. So we'll keep our needs to a minimum and just really bring ourselves present to that opportunity to sit and like I said, just be with our hearts.
Yes. Yes.
And. I mean, who hasn't thought of a vacation where you could go to where all you had to do was sit, you know, and this is an opportunity. Of course, conditioning has opinions about how one should sit.
Yeah.
But it's an opportunity to just to look at that and to really give yourself this vacation away from everything and attend a sesshin.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And Sequoia, there are a couple things coming up soon that are still have openings also, right?
That's right. That's right. There are there is a retreat in North Carolina at Green Cove, and a workshop the weekend of May 7th through 9th. So you can either attend the whole week retreat starting on May 3rd or just come for the workshop that starts on May 7th. And also we just want people to know that Sherry is going to give a talk at Malaprop's Bookstore Cafe in Asheville, North Carolina on Sunday, May 2nd at 5 o'clock. So if you're in that area, it'd be a great place to go and visit. And there is something coming up in Felton on June 18th. It's a two-day workshop with Sherry at Namaste, which is a very beautiful retreat center in Felton. And what makes this special and unique is it's going to be a fundraiser for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. So you can go and have this great workshop with Sherry and also support a wonderful project in Africa. And just one last thing is this weekend, if you're in Honolulu, make sure that you make your way to the Academy of Pacific for a workshop with Sherry there. And the registration for that closes Wednesday, so you got to get in there if you want to attend. And it will be, what's the date this weekend? April 23rd and 24th in Honolulu.
Better get my plane ticket, huh?
Yes. Okay.
Sequoia, it's been a pleasure talking with you tonight.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael. Actually, good afternoon for me, but I know good evening for you.
Yeah, it's sometimes hard to tell.
Very, very strange to be doing the radio show at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But
oh,
so I already got my ticket, and I'm very close to Honolulu.
Oh, my goodness.
It has worked out well for me.
Oh, wow. Good to get there early and get acclimated.
Exactly, especially when there's a big time change, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm practicing my sitting, as Sequoia suggested. Some of it, you know, like on the beach and another meditation cushion. But I realized in this trip that, you know, I always go east.
Yeah.
I don't go west.
Yeah.
And it's quite disorienting. I can never tell what time it is anywhere but where I am, which might be enough. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, so it's about 3 hours. Is that right?
3 hours, yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like there's a lot of stuff to look forward to in the world of practice. Huh?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean,
it's
something
it's
for
a
everybody,
time.
Including young people 10 and over. That is so fun.
Very exciting. Wonderful. And there are lots of wonderful people who would like to talk with you tonight.
Oh, I'd like to talk with them.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
What's
all right, well, cooking some food. What I was just going to talk about is this last week especially, I've been really noticing the retreat I did last year, which I think is going on again now, the Not What But How retreat, where we looked at movement, sensation, thought, emotion, and behavior. And, I've been able to really see that and mostly with the kids and other things as well. And it's just been really helpful to help me disidentify just watching it as a process, because the kids say something or do something that I don't want them to do, and immediately there's a whole lot of body sensations that, and not a ton of real conversation about it. It's like I already know what all the sensations mean.
Right.
They all mean this is wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. I didn't do that when I was a kid. This means I'm a bad parent. I mean, all that meaning is lumped in, all at once. And then the conditioned response to all that is to clamp it down and make new rules and no. but I've been able to actually avoid the behavior part of it. And
That's great. You know, when you say that like that, it reminds me of something we talk about periodically in situations like this, which is the parental look. You know how when you're a kid, your parent just gives you a certain look, and you know exactly what that means and who you are and who they are and what's going to happen and like that, the look. And so what you just described was the equivalent of getting the look from conditioning.
Yes.
Yeah, all those sensations come up, and you don't need a conversation. You know what every story is that goes with that set of sensations.
Uh-huh.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So then it makes it easier sometimes to step back from it, doesn't it, when you recognize that, aha, that's the look. And I can either take that on and go with it, or I can say, oh, no. I recognize that as karmic conditioning.
Yeah, and I have to be looking for it ahead of time and you know, trying to be cognizant of, okay, this is a situation that is probably going to result in the look. I was sort of confused about the word movement during that whole thing, but at least for me, I've sort of narrowed that down to mean anything that comes in my five senses or a thought that floats through.
That's exactly the way I've always interpreted it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
it's just something stirs the system.
Yes.
And the sensations that are a reaction to that or a result of that set off that whole chain of events.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it's just fascinating to watch each of those little pieces play themselves out. You know, a couple of them are kind of pushed together all at once, but yeah, just to see it, and then, oh, here's this thing and this feeling, and I'm about to say something or do something, and that means then I can just hopefully breathe for a second and then try and sometimes I find myself, like last night, floating through this no man's land of not exactly centered, but not exactly identified either, and I was just dealing with this thing, and I'm not following the reaction the way I have sometimes in the past, but at the same time, I'm not being perhaps as centered as I could be, and I'll kind of waffle back and kind of go back and forth, but eventually, through a few more minutes, I can eventually settle essentially into a more centered place and be able to deal with things.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely it does.
Okay.
And we must never, ever lose sight of the fact that is a huge, giant movement away from identification. You know, the fact that I'm disidentified enough that I can watch the movement between really disidentified, centered, back toward conditioning, you know, that really is stepped back in order to see all of that. Even though conditioning would like to convince us that, yeah, but you're not really, really, really centered.
Yeah.
Okay,
thanks for
whatever.
Well, good. Thank
you. I was just writing about that today, as a matter of fact, for the new book. That process of what the movement, the sensation, the thought about it, the emotional reaction to it, and the conditioned behavior that goes with it, and making the point that conditioned behavior also includes self-talk. Sometimes people get confused that, well, I'm doing anything, so there must not be a behavior that goes with this. But
right.
Often the behavior is all imaginary, and it's a conversation that's going on inside the head.
Oh, yeah, I've been there saying to myself, oh, this sucks, I hate this, I wish this would stop, you know, yeah. And although I may not say anything, I'll have a look on my face that means that, and I'll be reciting that little litany of whatever.
Yeah.
Huh.
And how those arise together. So the other thing that I was trying to explain is, expression that I've been using for it is that it all folds in. So Good News Sequoia was talking about the Eightfold Path retreat. And the Eightfold Path, the precepts, the three characteristics, the three jewels, all of these aspects of Buddhism, what the Buddha taught. Over the years, we've come to realize you cannot approach them in a linear fashion because they are so intertwined and so related that figuring out which one comes first, even though we say first there's movement, then there's sensation, by the time that starts going, which it definitely is for us, like alphas ago, it started going, it's rolling around like socks in a dryer. You know, it's just, you cannot really tell what starts it and what finishes because that thought triggers another emotion and that emotion triggers another series of self-talk and fantasies which bring up more sensations and that those sensations create their own movement. So it's just this constant rolling kind of thing that we're in the middle of trying to see through. So if we begin to get a sense of the interconnectedness of all of it, I think sometimes it's easier than trying to sort it out because when I'm trying to say, okay, that happened and then I that and then I that and then I that, it can be helpful if we don't believe we're ever actually going to be successful in that pursuit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, they have to break a day over where you are.
Yes. Well, I live in rooster land here, and or chicken land, I should say. And they seem inspired to start the day and night. Yeah. They didn't get that memo about you do that first thing in the morning to wake. Well, actually, they did, but they didn't get the one about and then that's enough.
All right. Well, hey, I'm really enjoying this weekly conversation this month. This has been a real big help. I'm very thankful to be able to call in each week this month.
Yeah. It's good. It's good. Good to have support. Good never to listen to the voices that say, oh, no, you don't need support because they lie.
Yes.
So you have one more week?
Yep. One week and a couple days.
All right. Then I'll plan on talking to you next Tuesday.
Right on. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Humer. Sherry, let's hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, once you swam in a river of joy.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porch Dog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back. Sure, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Anna from Home First in West Yorkshire in England.
Well, good morning to you.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really, really, really well. I'm ringing to, update you, like I said I would. Yeah, go on.
I have to ask you two things, though, before we get an update from you. One, are you dug out?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So did it stop snowing long enough to dump a big old cloud of
Yes, I know. Do you know that? It's so funny because, it just snows so much that, I mean, it is spring now. There are beautiful blue skies. There is pink blossom. The birds are tweeting. But it affected me so much in my particular journey to work that I sort of developed that there's really definitely a lesson in awareness in it somewhere. You know, like when we form conditioning and habits.
Uh-huh.
Even now, sometimes when I wake up, my first thought really has been, is it snowing?
Uh-huh.
Because it was such a big deal for us.
Yeah. After a while, it's like, what have we done? What have we done, God? Because we have really ticked somebody off somewhere.
So last week it was snowing in Scotland and Northern Ireland, and I think some areas of the high ground. It did look like it was attempting to here, but I ignored that and pretended it wasn't happening. So now there's ash as well, and there's an election. I don't know whether you know. So it is really all exciting.
Yes, that is absolutely the case. All right. Well, thank you for the weather update. Now the personal update, please.
Yeah. So I didn't call back at half term because we realised obviously that Poppy hadn't had a go for a while, so obviously, you know, she spoke to you then. So when we last spoke, I mentioned that I'd been having a few problems sleeping, particularly on the night before I would be teaching my challenging class. And if you remember, you said to me to try listening to the Blanket of Acceptance recording. Yeah?
Yeah.
So I thought, that's a great idea, I'll do that. So I did that. And just to really get it in, I started listening to it whenever I could during the day as well.
Uh-huh.
And I think I got a little bit ill at around that time. So I listened to it a lot, and then I listened to all the others from that email class. Living Beyond Karma, it was,
uh-huh.
wasn't it? Yeah, I think it was a couple of years ago now, you know.
Yeah.
And I've been having a fantastic time listening to them. So some of the other ones were Willingness. The titles of the podcasts were Willingness and Gratitude, and some of the players. And so I found that each of those is really good for who I might be at that time, how I might be feeling. And one of the things that's come out of that is, because I found that how I listen to them best is if I shut my bedroom door and lay down and shut my eyes, and then I can really concentrate on them. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing that, and some of them get you to check in with your body. Well, most of them do to begin with. So I've been seeing where I'm holding tension more in my, more and more in my body, and I've been relaxing that more and more, and just generally more and more and more. I've been relaxing during the daytime as well as at nighttime. So anyway, I'm sleeping better.
Oh, good. Well, you know, when you were talking about the, you know, the snow trauma, I thought,
yeah.
I for whatever reason, my refrigerator has decided to begin an early demise, and it goes along, it runs, and then at the end, I guess it's the compressor, just makes this horrible, god-awful funk. I mean, it sounds like somebody dropped a piano from the roof, you know. It's
loud.
And and so, of course, that's been going on for a while. And I realized that same process that you described with the snow. Whenever I hear, now I'm somewhere else. I'm in a place where with a different refrigerator. But
yeah.
my response to the refrigerator is waiting for it to turn off and make that god-awful funk. And so, you know, just looking at that, how we, seeing so clearly how we're trained.
Yeah.
Then when you talk about what you're doing with the recordings and the bringing your attention to tension in your body and reminding yourself over and over to check in with your body and to relax the places of tension, it's all the same process.
Yeah.
You know, if we can be trained so quickly and easily in these little finger quotes in the air negative ways, then it is all the proof we need that we can also train ourselves to be present, train ourselves to be aware of what's going on with us, train ourselves to let go, train ourselves not to live in self-talk.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's good to realize that we have that ability, that it's nothing, you know, it's not esoteric, it's not even hard. You just do it over and over and over. So the Buddha, you know, get left all these messages about, you know, the equivalent, I don't think it was this one, is the Buddha, I think some English, but you become what you think about all day long. Is an expression of what the Buddha was teaching. You know, whatever you're doing all day long, is what you're training yourself. It's the way you're training yourself to be in your life.
Yeah.
So we might as well train ourselves in ways that really support and care for us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was thinking today, because I was thinking that I was planning on calling in, and I was thinking that absolutely is true, and I've seen that, because occasionally a voice will say, this isn't going to happen for you. You're not going to move anywhere very fast, because I've not actually been able to get over for a retreat or anything. So obviously a voice says, it's not really real what you're doing. It's not really, you know, any good. But I was thinking that, and I've heard you talk about this with other people, that I am definitely completely in a different place. I think that I could look at about every even 3 month period and I'm in a different place to where I was. And if I look at it in 6 monthly terms or even a year, I've gone along a huge distance. Like I can see it. And I have that every day. I do have, because I think you spoke about somebody who wrote a book, and it was about, if somebody's really good at something, the figure is that they've done it for 10,000 hours or something like that.
Yes.
Sorry?
Malcolm Gladwell. Tipping Point or one of his three most recent books. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, that, you know, that sort of stuck in my head. It's that's a bit like a record, you know, and I sort of use that for just keep going, all of these little minutes and these all add up, and they absolutely do.
Yes, Yes, they do.
I was just going to say the proof of that is something that I am seeing more and more and more is the voices of self-hate. And so sometimes now I can catch them exactly as they're saying it at the time, rather than, you know, a week later or whatever, or even, you know, a day later. So occasionally now, that the minute they've done it, I see it. And I think that that's proof of sort of like all the hard work that I do is working.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the thing that I think we need to keep in mind is that where we're going, of course, is here. And what we are doing is ending suffering. So if you are here, if you are present, and if you are not doing the things that maintain suffering, that's it.
Right.
You know, it's not. Now, yes, of course, there. You know, I don't think. You know, there are many of us who are going to reach some of the levels of awareness that the Buddha, cruised around in. And I don't know that, and I don't know that that's even particularly more desirable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was very beneficial that he, for instance, did that in terms of his ability to leave us with a practice that would enable us to end suffering in this lifetime. But the idea that the voices would present that you have to do certain things and be in certain places and check off these courses and that sort of thing. It's just not true. It is simply not true. And the story that you probably heard me tell was the one about the young woman in Japan who I think had tuberculosis and was bedridden, and she did all of her training via letters with a dentist.
Wow.
And had one of the most profound awakenings in modern times, really kind of in recorded times, and the whole thing by letters while she was flat on her back in bed. So it has much more to do with willingness and sincerity than location or that sort of thing, lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
that's great. That's good.
It is.
So thank you. You know, for those recordings that you did for that that email class, because if I'm still using them now, then I bet lots of other people are as well.
Yeah.
So that's great.
I hope so. And they have inspired me to add more of that with this new book. We have the technology now, so why not use it and make it available? Think of what the Buddha could have accomplished if all of this technology had been available to him. Jesus. You know, if we could have Jesus giving us the real deal, via email classes or teleconferencing or video conferencing or that sort of thing. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah. So we might as well use everything that's available to us.
Yes, absolutely.
Serve our practice.
Yeah. So I will carry on using everything that I can that's available to me. So, and I do manage to fit in quite a lot. And I'll get in touch at the next point and let you know where I am.
Well, I will very much look forward to a report. So thank you so much for calling in.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you, and thank you to Michael as well. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining.
Isn't it
Anna?
Good that we know Anna can now get to sleep?
Yes.
Because otherwise, you call into the radio show in the middle of the night and, you know, you could be awake till the next morning, for goodness sake. But she's got these techniques now. So she can
Yes.
Stretch out there, relax completely, and off she goes.
Right. Right. I don't know exactly what it was, but I found that conversation just really inspiring, really great.
Well, to me, what's inspiring is people sincerely doing the practice and being able to see in their own lives the transformation.
Yes.
I mean, whew. You know, in spite of the voices that want to say, no, this is not working, you're not doing it. You know, it's that classic, I see myself in a situation, I know how I would have been, 3 months ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, I respond in a completely different way. Why? Because of practice. Okay, it's working. That is undeniable.
Yes, it's great. And with that, it feels like I'm not as attracted to that conversation that's assessing how I'm doing. I can realize that that's going on, and then turn back to practice.
Yes, precisely. Come back, and that ability to recognize the conversation, drop it, and come back to here is another proof that practice works.
It's big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it
big.
Is.
I don't know why this is coming up, but it feels like you talk about this a little bit in Making a Change for Good, about recommitment is the point.
Yes.
Every moment, I'm just recommitting. Whatever happened,
yes.
Happened, you know, now I'm recommitting.
Yeah.
And I'm always recommitting, and I'm always starting over, and here we are at the beginning, and let's go.
Yeah, and with that attitude of mind, you can't suffer from comparisons.
Yes.
There's nothing to compare anything to.
Yes.
We're right here, starting afresh.
Yes.
Got to have a big smile on your face as it happens.
And what's great is we have another caller here.
Oh, isn't that good?
Hey, next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. This is Sally.
Sally?
Yeah, Sally. Uh-huh.
How are you?
I'm doing okay, sort of.
What's going on?
Well, I'm kind of a little bit beat up by my conditioning, and...
Hey, let's stop right there. Don't own it, okay? Just call it the conditioning.
Oh, the conditioning.
Yeah. Don't acknowledge your relationship with it. It's just, you know, it's like a somebody who sneaked into your house pretending to be a relative and moved into your spare bedroom, and you found out that it's actually a total stranger, and you can't imagine why that person is camped out in your house. So, we're ending the relationship here and getting that person to move out.
Okay.
So we don't want to create any ownership.
Okay, yeah, it feels a little bit like camped out. I'm dealing with a lot of fear, which I've dealt with a lot in my life, but over a year, a little more than a year, it's gotten really much worse. And just a little bit of content. For 20 years, I have a small apartment building that I've been, managing and renting. And now I just dread the renting of it. And when I have a vacancy, right now I have an apartment that I'm not listing because I'm dreading dealing with it. So
that's not good, is it?
That's not good. So I'm getting beat up because I'm not dealing with it. And I'm also dealing with anxiety because of how it seems to affect me now.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, Sally. You presented this as a fear issue.
Uh-huh.
I'm wondering about your relationship with depression.
With depression?
And I'll tell you the reason that I ask you that.
Okay.
I have a history of depression. And one of the ways through the years, I could never tell when I was depressed because I don't ever have depressed thoughts or, you know, any of that sort of thing.
Right.
It just shows up as a lack of energy. But one of the ways that I could tell I was depressed is I wouldn't answer the phone. I would just have a dread of having to interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what prompts me to ask you about that.
Well, I could say the same in that I don't have depressed thoughts. I deal more with fear or grief as emotions that I tend to run or can run.
What would be the fear aspect of this? Of renting the apartment.
Yeah, getting into a situation I can't get out of feeling like I have no control, or renting to somebody who's scary to me, or, you know, it's so legal now. It's gotten so legal that aspect scares me. And, yeah, it's like getting into something I can't get out of that's threatening to me. That's essentially it.
Okay. And do you know about aspects of the personality, subpersonality work, that sort of thing?
Yeah, you mean like the way the voices can come in and suggest this or that?
But more I'm thinking in terms of is there anybody, any part of you who you could call upon to do this job, like Wonder Woman? Or, you know, Fearless Franny, or somebody who is confident and sure of herself, and you know, even possibly a little on the other end of the continuum of bring it on. Any personalities like that hanging around with you?
Not too much.
Not too much?
No.
Courage.
Up, I can get my courage going.
How do you do that? How do you get your courage going?
Pretty much because I have to, I think, because I have to do it.
But who? How do you talk to yourself?
Give
yourself pep talks.
Yeah, I may talk to myself. I may rehearse something to kind of get used to saying it. Kind of go through a. I guess it's sort of a process of, you know, releasing some of the resistance and getting so tired of being stuck with it and, you know, knowing that I have to do it, so, you know, finally doing it.
Okay. And are you aware of voices talking to you that make you afraid?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That you're getting primed in this, not in these words, but that somebody's going to come along and you're not going to be able to handle it, and they're going to be scary and they're going to take advantage of you and you're not going to know what to do. And
right.
Yeah. Okay. So do you know that that's self-hate?
Yes.
Okay, good. Very, very good. All right. So that's really, really important to get it, that, you know, that's just trying to keep you in this state of fear so that you can be beaten up for not performing, right?
Right. And like right now I'm in a bit of a slump because I'm not performing, and I thought, well, okay, that's self-hate too, you know?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's a punching bag, okay?
Yes.
So you get hit on with the left hand with you can't handle this, you're not going to be able to do it. It's too scary for you. This awful thing is going to happen, and the right hand comes in and says, punches you on the other side and says, "What's the matter with you? You are such a chicken. You need to do this. I can't believe you're not doing it." Yeah.
Right.
So you want a homework assignment?
Yes. Yeah.
And then you'll have to call back and tell me how you did. Okay. So here's what I would like for you to do. I'd like for you to. Are you left-handed or right-handed?
I'm right-handed.
Right-handed. Do you know the dominant, non-dominant writing exercise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're gonna put your pen in your left hand, and you're gonna say, "I'm really scared. I have to do these hard things, and I don't feel like I can do them. I need somebody to help me." is there anybody who will help me? Then you put your pen in your right hand and you let the answer come. You don't write it out, okay? Of course you're going to write it out, but you don't make it up out of your conditioned mind. You really sit there until the wisdom and the guidance comes to you, and then you write that down.
Okay, so it could take a little while.
It could take a little while. Mm-hmm. But what you're accessing is the mentor. You're accessing conscious, compassionate awareness, center, however we want to talk about that, the part of you who's not afraid, who doesn't believe in voices, who can mentor and guide and protect little people who should not be doing things like renting apartments in the first place, and can help you have that strong grown-up perspective that's going to be able to do what you need to do and feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'll definitely try it. I guess I doubt a little bit that person exists for me.
Well, I can promise you, I could tell you who just said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's somebody who is hoping that's the case, because that's
mm-hmm.
somebody who's invested in the punching bag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would be shocked and amazed, actually, if you were the only person on the planet lacking that conscious, centered presence.
Say that again. I'd be shocked and amazed
if you were the only exception.
Uh huh. Right.
Yeah. Meaning we've all got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every
human has it, and our job is to access it, because of course that's what our practice is all about. Ultimately,
right.
That's what will transform our lives. It'll take us from believing that we're these incapable, incompetent, fear-driven, bad, wrong, beaten-down little humans, and help us to see that what we are is that which animates us. Conscious, compassionate, awareness, Buddha nature, and as we make that transition from one to the other, suffering falls away, and we experience freedom and good stuff.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, you know, conditioning self-hate is coming at you in all kinds of ways, from all kinds of directions. So basically, you just, no matter how convincing it sounds, it's like having the willpower and the awareness to say no over and over and over. I'm not going there with that.
That is correct. And it's as if this is the one that I always do. You know, if you had a little girl, and that little girl were being besieged in that way. You know, these mean, scary, cruel voices, people
right.
coming at her all the time, you would put your arms around her and
right.
you would fight them off.
Right, yeah.
And that's what we're called upon to do for ourselves.
Right. Right.
And it is. That it. Now, conditioning would like you to believe that it should be easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's not. It's simple. You
mm-hmm.
just laid out exactly what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a lot of conditioning that says you can't, it's too hard, it's not going to work, whatever it is. And what we're learning is we have to choose it
mm-hmm.
moment by moment by moment by moment.
Mm-hmm.
We can, and it's joyful.
And it's what?
Joyful.
Joyful.
Yeah, it's what will make your life joyful.
Yeah. I would like joy.
Yes. Well,
yeah,
you would.
Yeah.
It's who you are.
Yeah. All this other stuff is just stuff. I see it, and yet there are times when it just becomes overwhelming. And
Yes, it does.
Like today, I just felt bogged down in it, and the related emotions that were coming up with it. And it's kind of like I just, you know, it was hard for me actually to call in feeling like this.
which is, of course, the time that you should call in.
Yeah.
And it's what Michael was just saying. You know, we just start anew.
Yeah,
okay.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's what happened. That's right. That's what happened. Here we
are. Yeah, like right now, I can start anew.
Recommit.
Yeah. Yep.
Good. All right. Now you're gonna get back with us, right?
I am.
How you do? I don't mean don't call until you're completely successful. I'm not saying that. Just where did you get to with that process? What's going on? And then we take the next steps.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Sherry.
Very good.
Yeah.
And remind yourself that you've already experienced the courage that you need in this particular situation and time in your life because you picked up the phone and called.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's a good reminder.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm turning my attention toward freedom. It's the way I want to go, even though it seems a bit elusive right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's where you want to go. So, you know, my encouragement, get about, 8 or 10 signs in every place that you spend time, right? Freedom in great big red letters. And every time you see it, turn your attention back to, yes, I commit to finding freedom for this person. Yes, I commit to freeing this person from suffering. Yes, I'm going to take care of her and give her a life of freedom and joy.
Okay, that sounds good.
Very good. All right.
All right. Yeah, thanks, Sherry. Yeah, I'll
Thank
be in
you.
Touch. Thanks, Michael.
All right.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sally. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And I'm inspired again, Sherry.
I'm telling you, this practice, these people, it's good.
It's a fabulous combination.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to stop, drop, and breathe, and
it's
we'll be
the
right
best.
Back.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these 3 easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have more callers, Sherry. Next caller, you are now
okay, you're on.
And could you please introduce yourself?
I am.
Hi, this is Trish and Rosa.
Rosa and Trish, how are you gals?
Good. Well, kind of good.
I bet, you know, just about any of us, if we were really honest, when we were asked that question, the right answer is, or the true answer is, kind of good. Kind of fine. What's going on?
At school, I've been having a hard time.
Uh-oh.
It's because my family was gay, and my family is gay, and two people teased me.
Oh.
One person talked to his mom about it, and his mom said it was fine, so that was good.
Uh-huh. Now, this is one of your classmates.
Yes.
Teasing you, and then he talked to his mom about it, and she said it was okay.
But then there was somebody else who teased me, kind of, but not directly at me, but hurt my feelings.
Yeah. I wish I had a good answer for you. You know, I wish I could say that. You know, this is just what happens to you when you're a kid, and then when you grow up, that doesn't go on, or it's some kind of an accident or something. But, you know, it just seems that part of human beings is there are some folks who just like to be mean to other folks. And it doesn't, in my experience anyway, it doesn't have anything to do with the person that it's directed at.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So somebody's going around and they just want to say mean things or be mean to somebody or tease them or bully them or whatever it is. And so they just look around and they just light on somebody, and that's what they do. And if they can get to you, if you get upset or that sort of thing, then they'll do it more.
And then today, I asked my friend to come to the bathroom with me because some kids had already kind of teased me about Bloody Mary and ghosts, and I just asked her to come with me, and Bonita and Marie decided to come too, and it was not fun because they started teasing me, saying Bloody Mary a whole bunch and, like, pretending that she was theirs, and it freaked me out.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know she's not real, but they were being really mean about it.
Uh-huh.
Adriani and Ophelia were the only ones who were nice.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's a hard place, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It really is. It's a hard place to just be able to say, you know, what those people have going on has to do with them. You know, it's who they are. It has nothing to do with me.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. They're just, you know, people who are mean to other people are not happy people.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes when people treat me in ways that feel hurtful, I just remind myself they don't mean to. They don't really know what they're doing, and they're just not happy. If they were happy, they wouldn't say those things. They wouldn't do those things. But they don't really mean to be doing what they're doing.
Oh. Mom said that anybody who's mean, it just feels bad inside.
Yeah, I think that's true. And a lot of times when people feel bad inside, they seem to think that it's going to make them feel better to treat somebody else badly.
But doesn't it just make them feel worse to treat somebody else badly?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, it takes us a while to catch on to that kind of thing. You know? So it might be helpful for you just to remind yourself, you know, even to say something to yourself like, gosh, I wish they were happier inside. Wouldn't have to act that way.
Uh-huh.
And then to remind yourself that that's a very kind way to treat people. To wish them well. To wish that they would feel good even when they're being mean to you. And you feel good inside. Because here's the one thing that I know for sure. Getting upset will not make them stop.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I have to just ignore them, don't I?
Yep, you can ignore them. And if you're feeling really courageous, you can just smile at them.
Okay.
You can do that.
I can smile.
You can smile. Yep. And I mean, they might try to be meaner to get you not to smile. But if you could just keep smiling,
okay.
Eventually, they'll probably start leaving you alone and go do something else.
Okay.
Yeah. Try it and let me know. Okay.
Okay, and I have a question. Are you in Honolulu, or where are you? Are you on a plane?
No, I'm actually on Kauai, which is another one of the Hawaiian islands.
Oh.
Yeah, and on Friday, I will fly over to Honolulu.
We've been to Hawaii.
Have you? You liked
when
it?
I was a baby.
Oh, when you were a baby. So maybe you liked it, maybe you didn't. Probably you liked it.
And so you're at a hotel right now?
Yes. It's kind of a hotel. It's kind of a hotel. It doesn't really feel like one, but it is a resort. So it's on the, it's overlooking the ocean. It's very beautiful. I like Kauai. It's my favorite, well, one of my two favorite islands. The other one is Molokai.
It's ours, too.
Yeah.
That's where we've been.
Yeah, very beautiful. Yeah. Okay, Rosa, get him to bring you back now that you're not a baby, okay?
And we'll go swimming in the ocean.
That's all that Sherry just has great ideas, doesn't she?
That one I really like.
Oh, good.
Mommy,
all right.
Speak
loud. Okay, well,
we have
to run off to track practice.
Oh, very good. Okay, well.
And I can try it then, because somebody who is scaring me is here today at track practice.
It's good. It's good. You can put it into effect when you're all primed and ready.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Trish and Rosa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was a great enlightenment moment I heard from Rosa.
Why couldn't I have been a kid like that? I wasn't. Doggone it. Just so bright and open and looking and wise and, oh, my goodness gracious. There's hope. Hope for the future.
There is always hope.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple minutes and we have more callers here.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is George.
George?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How is the walking meditation going?
Well, the walking meditation just worked wonderfully. And I'm actually more involved in other things right now, very active, physically active, but I haven't really had the opportunity, although today I took a beautiful walk in a new park that I'd never been in before that's right across the street from a new house that we're buying.
Oh, good.
And and this buying of the new house brought to a head my relationship with my wife Alexa in a very interesting way. We've had rather fiery relationship over the years, and I've noticed it's been very interesting because I've noticed a number of different sub personalities that come up in the relationship. One is someone who thinks that this particular entity, being who I call me, has changed through practice, and his partner is literally arguing for her right to suffer, and is very doesn't like me saying what doesn't like what I've become, and I'm just so there's that aspect. Then there's the another aspect, which is an interesting one, but it I recall this story that I read somewhere about this Zen master in the East who traveled around with this helper, sidekick sort of, who was a real ornery character and really critical and, you know, kind of mean sometimes and, you know, just difficult to get along with and so on. And people would say to him, you know, why don't you get somebody else? You know, I mean, this is ridiculous. And he'd said, no, this is really good. This provides a really good practice for me. And so So there's a guy that thinks that this relationship provides that really good practice opportunity. Then there's the horny teenager who wants physical affection, and which I get absolutely none of. So he loves to hug and kiss and so on, and he doesn't get any chance to do that. So there's that aspect. And then there's someone who...
Can I interrupt you for just a second?
Yeah. Please.
I just need for myself to separate those two out. Because calling somebody who wants physical attention, who wants hugging and kissing, a horny teenager seems disrespectful. Now, I'm not saying about a horny teenager, because there may be, but to write off, you know, do you know what I'm saying by that?
To
lump those into one category as if
physical
affection or hugging or kissing makes you a horny teenager. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a horny teenager, then own that when you're a horny teenager and don't deny the other with that kind of label.
Okay.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Okay. So, and then there's someone else who just loves this person, meaning Alexa, just as she is, and seeing all these qualities. I mean, she's hypercritical, and always has been, and she comes from that. Her family was always that way, and she was brought up that way, and so on and so forth. And I cannot meet her standards. She can't meet her standards either. But she has these incredible qualities of she's a physically very beautiful person and a very graceful person and dresses beautifully and she's an artist and designer, and she's the very first children's book she ever illustrated won a national prize, the only one she ever illustrated. And then she, you know, hasn't even done anything since then. But she's this kind of incredibly intelligent, talented, perceptive. And that's the edge that's really interesting, is that I can't get away with anything. And in fact, I step out of line just a little bit in her mind. And right away she's on me about it. So it's in a way it's ridiculous, but in another way it's just an interesting opportunity to not lose it, because there's somebody that gets really angry about that. And so just the other day, I mean, I just blew up. And yet, at the same time, I noticed that 2 minutes later, I was able to drop it completely and come back to the breath, come back to now, come back to, you know, a sense of peace, a sense of okayness. So there's a great practice. There really is a great practice opportunity here. And
so, you ready here?
Mm-hmm.
All right, because I think we're out of time.
I think we're
out of time. But this is where I would go, no matter how much time we had.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to do, then I would be 100% supportive of you doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, in practice, there's no reason to do or not do anything. But here's the thing I would ask you to consider. Do you have a belief that practice is suffering?
No.
Okay. Because I would suggest that you can learn just as much, perhaps more, in bliss than we can as we can in suffering or deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my challenge to you. Yes, I hear that being denied, being deprived, being criticized and that sort of thing is a great opportunity not to get upset and get angry. Could you allow yourself to have everything that you want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you be as open to receiving as you are clearly open to denial?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's your homework assignment.
Mm-hmm.
okay, to look into that.
Yeah.
What would arise if you were to say, you know, I just love the stew out of you. I really do. I think you're just all these fabulous things, and, you know, I'm finished. I'm going to do something completely different with my life because I feel complete with this. I feel like we've done this dance, and dance is over, and I still have more dances in me, and so I'm going to go dance those dances for the amount of time that I have left. Could you do that? That's your assignment.
Yeah. Well, I will definitely be reporting back in and continuing this.
All right. Very
it
good.
Ain't going to go away.
No, not anytime soon.
No, especially when we're buying a new house together.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Which makes it a perfect time to be looking at this.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because what if you said, you know what, I don't think I'm ready to do this because I'm really questioning if this is the direction that I want my life to go in.
Well, that's just where we were yesterday, both of us. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, very good. Keep
me
posted.
All right. Certainly will.
All right. Thanks, George.
Good night, folks.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, George. You've been listening to another fabulous edition of Open Air with Sherry Huber.
That's
wow.
Fun, huh?
Great.
Good one. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Take care. Talk to you next week.
Yes. Have a great workshop.
All right. Thank you. And, next week, by the way, is the, isn't it the opening of the Zen Center in, the new Zen Center in the peninsula?
You better bet it is.
Yeah. So people can check in on that.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.